Are we live and recording, Phil? Excellent. Excellent. Good. So today we are going to talk briefly about the Mosaic sacrifices, because we all know about sacrifices from the Old Testament, don't we? We know some basics. We know it's something to do with animals, and we know that it's they get killed, and somehow that pleases God, and we kind of got that in our minds. And so there are five sacrifices which were required of the people. I probably have to turn this on. Let's see if I can turn it on. Oh. Did I do that or did you do it? It's like magic. I only have to think it. I might just say next slide if I can't get the buttons to work. Okay, so we have a disaster wanting to happen. But you notice how it missed me, so that's good. Thank you. Crazy. Okay, so there were five sacrifices. You can remember that, because it's a handful. Okay, we have the burnt offering. We have the grain offering. We have the peace or fellowship offering. We have the sin offering. And we have the guilt offering. And I suspect most of you, if you're like me, don't really know what the differences are. So we're going to go through them. But there were these sacrifices. Most of them involved animal sacrifice. One of them doesn't. We'll go through that. And they were done at the temple in Jerusalem. Okay? So how often were they done? It's a good question. Well, in the temple in Jerusalem, they were doing all these sacrifices, or most of these sacrifices, on a daily basis, and the priests would perform them. But for individuals, that's like you and me, their sacrifices usually happened at the three pilgrimage festivals, when they would all travel to Jerusalem and they would go up to the temple. So what were those three festivals? You know, because we have two festivals, don't we? Big festivals. What are our two big festivals that we have in this country as Christians? Christmas and Easter. We have the two festivals. So think of the Jewish festivals as their sort of equivalent, big festivals that were national holidays. So the first one was the Passover, which was commemorating the Exodus. And that used to take place in March or April, a bit like Easter. Okay. The second one was the Feast of Weeks. That was 7 weeks after the Passover, so it occurred in May or June. And that commemorates the giving of the law and the early harvest of wheat. So they had the Feast of Weeks. Towards the end of the year, in September and October, they had the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was celebrating the full harvest and commemorating the 40 years of wandering in the desert in tabernacles. So when they were wandering through the desert, they'd come out of slavery in Egypt, and God was taking them to the promised land. But they weren't building cities or houses or permanent dwellings. They were in tents. They were tabernacling. So that's called the Feast of the Tabernacles, where they were celebrating those 40 years of living in tents. Don't know about you. I go to plenty of Christian festivals. Most of them are camping, and I drive every day and go home at night. I love my bed. I love my fridge. And I love my telly. So I love my bath. So I go home and I have home comforts overnight. Then I drive back up and meet the bedraggled campers the next day. I'm not sure I would have coped with 40 years of being in a tent. But so when we look at these sacrifices, so three times a year, typically most people would go up to the temple and they would offer their sacrifices. When we look at this, the point of these sacrifices was really more to do with purity than it was to do with mercy. So sacrifices were really for God-fearing people who had made some mistakes. It was not for deliberate or serious sin. There are no sacrifices listed in the Bible for adultery or murder or idolatry or things like that. In those cases where we have committed serious sin, deliberate sin, We do rely on God's mercy, and we are grateful, aren't we, that we have a merciful God. We have a God who has every right to judge us, but he chooses mercy over judgment. But the sacrifice system itself was about God-fearing people, seeking God, wanting to be pure and righteous in his sight by dealing with accidental errors and mistakes, knowing that you want to honour God, you want to serve God, you want to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and yet knowing that you fall short. And so the sacrificial system was put in place so that people like that, hopefully people like us, would have a way to keep right with God. Well, Jesus has come, and those physical temple sacrifices are no longer required. It tells us in Hebrews, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Then he said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." So when we look at these sacrifices, they are a shadow of the reality that we find in Jesus Christ. Just a shadow. The sacrifices, the blood of the bulls and the goats, did not put people right with God. It put them right in a purity sense, didn't put them right in a judgment sense. But all those sacrifices were fulfilled in Christ. And he is our reality. And we are freed from judgment. We are in the hands of a merciful God. And we can rejoice in that. You know, my experience is this, and it may be yours. People who are far from God feel no guilt, feel no shame, and they're not worried about being judged because they don't think they've done anything wrong. And they don't cry out for mercy. The closer you get to God, the closer you walk with God, the more conscious you are that he is a holy God and that you are not a holy person. And the little things challenge you more. The little mistakes you make, the little errors, the little lapses in judgment, the little accidentally saying something that is not helpful to someone. Those little things that you do make you think, ah! And you feel, God, I could have done better in that situation. As we draw near to a holy God, we become more aware of our inadequacy. And therefore, like these sacrifices in the Old Testament of purity, we too want to be pure before our God. We too want to approach him and know that we are clean, to know that the mistakes we have made have not tarnished us in any way. We want to be dressed in white. We want to be innocent before him. So it is us who seek God, that want to sacrifice. It is us that love God, who want to give all that we have to him, to take it to the altar, to take it to the temple, and to say, "My God, here I am, and I bring my sacrifices to you." So how does that work for us today? Where did the sacrifices take place? The temple, yeah? Sacrifices take place in the temple. Where is the temple now? That's why this man's a leader. He knows these truths. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? Tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A word of advice for anybody speaking, when you print your notes, don't staple it in the corner so that the corner bit is missing as you turn it over and you have to pull the staple out. Do you, this is from 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. So now, the temple, we are the temple. God has done something in us, in his grace, to make us a place where he wants to dwell, where he wants to live. God wants to be close, but the Holy Spirit, because it says we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is like a dove, isn't he? He's often depicted as a dove. He is gentle. He is kind. And guess what? Doves are easily scared. You only have to disturb him a little bit and he doesn't feel comfortable and he'll fly away. So we want to make this temple a place where a dove can settle, where a dove can find peace, where a dove feels the environment is right. We want this temple to be a place of sacrifice. We honour God because he has made us a temple, and therefore we have a responsibility to keep the temple a holy and sacred place. So let's look at those individual sacrifices and consider how they might apply to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's see if I can do the magic. Oh, I might have to ask Phil. Garfield.
Oh yeah. Oh,
was that me doing it? The sin offering. Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is the sin offering. So the sin offering was the offering of an animal. A bull, a goat, a lamb, a pigeon, depending on how much you could afford. And you put your hand on the head of the animal and you confessed that you were a sinner. It symbolized a substitution and a transference of guilt. But it was specifically for sins where no reparation was possible, where you had done a sin that you couldn't put the wrong right. Yeah? That was the sin offering. This has happened. I've made a mistake. I can't deal with it. I can't put this right. You may have said something, you may have done something wrong to someone who has now died or moved away, for example. And there's no opportunity to put it right. But you still know I didn't handle that well. Or you've upset someone in your previous job. Okay? And there's no real opportunity to deal with that. Or for whatever reason, you can't put things right. But you know, Lord, I didn't honour you fully. I wasn't up to the task on that occasion. And that was what the sin offering was. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Like the animal in the sacrifice, Jesus became our sacrifice. He took on our sin and he gave us his righteousness and we were cleansed. What is a sin offering today? I would say one thing it might be is confessional prayer. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confessional prayer is our sin offering. It's when we choose to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in this temple, our bodies, and we say to him, like David did, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. I ask you, when you spend time with God, are you aware that he is holy? Are you aware that he is glorious and magnificent? And that he is full of love and he is full of mercy? But when we see him, we know that he is holy and apart from us. And we don't deserve it, we can't demand it. We rely on his kindness, we rely on his love, we rely on his mercy for him to draw close to us. That act of acknowledging that before God in our prayer lives, not just demanding of God, do this for me, do that for me, do the other for me, but saying, God, here I am. I have no right to anything, yet you have called me your son, you have called me your daughter, you have welcomed me into your presence. You are a holy God, but you are a merciful God. Lord, I am grateful. I have not treated people the way you would have me treat them. I have not honored you the way you would have me honor you. But you have loved me. I give you a sacrifice of thanks and of praise now. That is our sin offering, a right posture before the living God. And then we have the next one. Either me or Phil will find a way to make it work. Perhaps we both did then. Can we go? Oh, yes! It's kind of a double act that's not quite working as well as it could. I think I'll be doing a sin offering after this for that. We have the guilt offering. What's the difference between sin and guilt in biblical terms, in this term? Well, it's kind of called a trespass offering. This is where you have the opportunity to put things right. This is where the person you've annoyed is still in the room. Or at the end of a phone line. This is where you're guilty and the person is there. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to make a guilt offering, you had to make reparations to the injured party before the offering. You had to pay back what was lost and more on top to show good faith. You put right what you had done wrong as best you were able. You approached the person and you said, I am sorry. I want to put this right. Jesus spoke about this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come back and offer your gift. This is the guilt offering. You know, seems a bit easier to go to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me, than to go to another person and say, I wronged you, please forgive me. That's quite hard, isn't it? What the Jews were doing on this occasion is they were swapping the guilt offering for a sin offering. So I'll say sorry to God, but I don't really want to say sorry to the person. Now, that actually makes sense in a human level, because God is merciful and we can count on it. The other person may not be merciful. We can't count on it. So it's a bit more awkward, isn't it? And a bit more difficult to go to someone. I don't know if you've ever done this. This has happened to me in the past from time to time. I'm thinking of a particular person. I won't name them or give you their address or phone number or anything like that. But I'm thinking of a particular person who, whenever you say sorry to this person, they always look you in the eye and say, you should be. Yeah, I stepped out in faith. I thought, I'll be a righteous man of God. I'll say, I am sorry that I offended you. You should be, because you did wrong. Makes it awkward, doesn't it? Puts you off the next time. You're not quite so sure. So what is this? What is this sacrifice, this guilt offering that we, the temple of the Holy Spirit, have to do? Reconciling in relationships. This is our offering to God, that we reconcile with people that we have offended or have offended us as best we are able. It means either to forgive or to say sorry as appropriate in the situation. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And Colossians says, bear with one another and forgive one another. if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I find this one of the hardest things of Christian life. I'm very good at forgiving at a distance. I'm very good at forgiving people in the presence of God. I seem to have had that in my life, that I can do that. I can go to God and say, I hold nothing against the person. However, I find it a lot harder to do it with the person, as I say, because sometimes they don't respond with the kind, loving, gracious way that God does. This is a challenge, but this is the offering God wants us to do the best that we can to forgive, to do the best that we can to apologise and to make peace with each other as best we are able. You know, it's by our love for one another that the world will know that we are his disciples. Particularly in the church, we need to find ways to forgive one another, to apologise to one another and to love one another. This is our guilt offering. Moving on. Let's see if it works this time. Was that me or you, Phil? It was you again. He's the brains of the operation. I'm just the mouthpiece. Right, the grain offering. So both those other two offerings were actually mandatory for people to do. Sin offering, the guilt offering. Why are they mandatory? Let's be honest, because we've all slipped up. Yeah? Yes. You weren't getting away with saying, I haven't committed any sins, I'm not guilty of anything. Nah, we all are. If I said, think now of a list of people that you really should reconcile with, I don't think you're probably not being honest if you say, I can't think of anybody, there's nobody, I'm at peace with the whole world. If we're being honest, we probably do have things. If not, may God prompt you. The grain offering, though, this is voluntary. The next three offerings are voluntary. It was a voluntary offering of flour, oil, and frankincense, and it was gratitude for God's provision. This was the only one that didn't involve killing an animal. Okay? No life had to be given for this. For us, it is about giving out of what God has given us. Out of our flourishing, out of our prosperity, out of the good things that have happened in our lives. Maybe this is being generous with money and not holding what God has given us for ourselves. When God gives us things, he gives us things, A, to look after us and provide for us, but he gives us often a little bit of an abundance, a little bit more than we need, so that we can be generous to others, so we can live in community and love one another. Maybe that's what it is, but we know that God will look after us, like Jesus promised us when he told us to look at the birds. You look at the birds, they don't worry, and God looks after them. God looks after us. This is a difficult lesson to learn. We find it hard to understand that God looks after us, but if we press into him, if we trust him, if we ask him to transform us and challenge us, he shows us that he cares for us and he will look after us. I have many testimonies in my own life about this. But maybe we don't have a lot of money. Maybe all we've got is a widow's mite, okay, that we can put into an offering or a collection or to show generosity. Maybe it's a tiny amount. But maybe we got time. Maybe we don't have a job. Maybe we don't have a job. Maybe we're retired and we have a lot of time on our hands. Maybe we have a surplus of time that we could use to do good things with, to bless people with. Maybe we have that. Maybe we have the gift of encouragement, that we can see the hope for other people, that we can see that God loves them so much that we can share that with them when they're feeling down or when they're struggling. Maybe we could use that. Maybe it's our skills. Maybe we know how to fix plumbing problems. If you know how to fix plumbing problems or do car mechanics, you can make a lot of friends very quickly if you're generous with your skills. Maybe you have other skills. Some of you ladies probably know how to sew. Yeah? If you know how to sew, I will tell you that probably about 50% of men in the world could really do with your help, because they have lots of bits of clothing that when the things break and the buttons come off or things like that, we have no idea how to fix them ourselves. So we pout for a bit. If you're married, it's even worse, like I am, because then you've got a wife who you know can do this job for you, and yet she might be too busy, and you're thinking, she better notice soon. And if you're unlucky, you end up giving up and going and buying another piece of clothing when you could have fixed the one that was broken. But if you've got whatever your skills are, cooking, you may have good cooking skills. We've been blessed here, haven't we, in this church, by people cooking for us at various times. We can thank God for the blessings. We can use our skills. It was grain in Old Testament times. Now it's a variety of skills. That is our offering. That is our sacrifice that we give of our skills. Yeah. The next one, the fellowship offering or the peace offering. Another voluntary offering. This is just gratitude to God because you have achieved peace with God. You are in a good place with God. It always came after one of the atoning sacrifices. It came after the sin offering. It came after the guilt offering. We haven't talked about it yet. It came after the burnt offering. Okay? But it was, I've reached peace with God. These sacrifices have worked. I am pure before my Lord and my Maker. I'm at peace with God. I thank God for his work of reconciliation between him and me. Thank you, God, for what you've done. I thank you that you've worked in my life and you've given me spiritual peace. And you know, when they did this sacrifice with an animal, the sacrifice is so far, the animal's been killed, a bit of it is burnt up, and most of the animal will go to the priest and their families for them to consume. Here, with this one, with the peace offering, the worshipper, you, could also eat of the sacrifice, and you could share it with your family and with the poor. You could bless other people with this as well. Some went to God, some went to the priest, and some went to those around you in your community. And that's what the peace offering is for us. It's living in community. It's loving our families and our neighbours. It's putting others before ourselves. We practice hospitality. Romans 12:13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Yeah, do you open your home? Do you open the spaces available to you? I appreciate not everyone's in the same situation, but do you use what you've got to bless others? In your attitude of gratitude to God and all that he has given you, do you use what you've got as a peace offering, as a fellowship offering to God, and say, you have made peace with me, Lord. I will make peace with my family and my neighbours. I will bless them. I will fellowship with them as my offering to you. One, two, three, four. And finally, the burnt offering. The burnt offering was voluntary. The burnt offering was a declaration of dedication to God. It was an atonement for general sin, but it was more to do with devotion. The animal was slain. The blood was sprinkled. The beast was cut up. The skin was removed. And the body parts were burnt to ash. The whole thing was destroyed. Nothing was consumed by anybody else. It was 100% holy for God. And even the ashes were taken away and removed. This is about dying to self. Everything goes to God. Everything is burnt to ashes and taken away. You took something without defect, the best that you had, and it's still the best that you had to be destroyed. You didn't trust what you had in yourself. You trusted God for something better. The best I have is not enough for the Holy God, but what the Holy God has is more than enough. This is the burnt offering. This is where you say, God, I lay down everything before you and I give it to you and I allow you to be Lord. His name is Lord. His title is Lord. Will we allow him to be Lord and to let him be in control of everything? Philippians 3. This is Paul speaking as a New Testament Christian, effectively expressing what the burnt offering means to us as Christians. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul prays something we find hard, that we find challenging. He prays to participate in sufferings. He prays to participate in sufferings and to sacrifice everything, that he may somehow become like Jesus in his death and experience the power of the resurrection. Paul, who had many things that he could boast about, said they're all garbage. By comparison, they're garbage. Everything that we have in the flesh and in the natural, whilst it's been given to us by God, we know that without God living in us and through us and anointing us and using it, if we use it for ourselves, it's garbage. If we give it over to God as a burnt offering, holy, 100% dedicated to him, then he can use it. He can use it if we allow him to be in control of it and to flow through us as he does that. That is our burnt offering, devotion. Knowing the areas of your life where God is calling you to lay them down completely, to trust him totally and allow him to direct how he uses those aspects of your life. Spoke to me a few weeks ago about this, and he showed me three areas of my life which he wants me to lay down as a burnt offering. Yeah, I'll keep it a secret, okay? It's between me and God. But he showed me these areas, and they're not bad areas, they're strengths of mine. And he said, I want them for me. You will be at your best when you let go of control, when you allow me to be Lord in these areas. Will you give me a burnt offering? So we look at our lives, and we look at whatever is good, and we ask, will we devote it to the Lord? Will we allow it to be burned up? Will we allow the fire of God to rage in our hearts so that he may take its place? And those are the five Mosaic offerings. What I'd like to do now is just do a little practical exercise, okay? I'm going to give you, in fact, Peter, could you help me with this? Could you give everyone a piece of paper from this pile? Okay, if you've got a pen on you, it would be really helpful. I've got two pens at the front, but we all need a piece of paper. And I want you to just contemplate and think, what is it that I want to offer God? As we've been through the talk this afternoon, what is it that God wants me to lay down from him? What is my offering? Is it a sin offering? Are you going to pray? Are you going to offer to God your weakness and receive his joy? Is it a guilt offering? Is there a broken relationship that needs mending? A sorry that needs saying? Or forgiveness that needs offering? Is it a grain offering? Have you got an abundance in some area of your life where you can bless through what you've received? Is it a peace offering? Do we feel prompted to offer fellowship and peace to our families or our neighbours? Is there a group of the poor or marginalised that we can share God's blessing with in some way? And finally, is there a burnt offering? Is there some part of your life that you want to lay down, devote to God, and completely trust him 100% in? Is there something that you want to say to God, your will, not my will be done? When you've written something down, okay, I'd like you to screw it up into a little ball. This is our altar for the day. That's what this is. This is our altar. I want you to come and I want you to throw your burnt up ball onto this altar. I'm then going to do my best to light it, and we're going to give our burnt offerings to God. We're not going to read your bits of paper, that's between you and God. If you want prayer afterwards, then you can pray. That's a lighter, is it?
Yeah.
I've got a lighter, mate.
Oh, right.
I might need yours if mine doesn't work. I'll have them. Thank you.
Peter, can I have a bit of paper? Yeah. Could you pass?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to write.
Okay, so when you've written,
what will we write?
Anything you want to offer to God based on what I've shared with you today. Then you can put it on the altar here, and we're going to light it. So when you've written something, you can come forward, put your bit of paper on there. If you want someone to collect your paper, just wave and we'll come and collect it. What is it that God is asking you to offer to Him? What is the area where God wants you to make an offering? Is it your prayer life? Is it a broken relationship? Is it giving out of the abundance that God has given you? Is it reaching out to your family, your friends, your neighborhood? Or is it about devoting something to God, not using it for your own glory or benefit, but for Him and Him alone? Okay, whilst the last few of you are writing, I'm going to see if we can light this.
I don't even have mine on me.
What is that?
I've got someone. It's fine, you've done it.
You're fine, are you?
Yeah.
Oh. Bit late now.
So yeah, let's put
13.
Yeah, so Father God, we bring our offerings to you. Father, where you're speaking to us. Giving out of the abundance that you've given us, to do with our acknowledgement of your prayers. Father, it is something that you are asking us to be devoted to you in. Whatever it is, we bring them to the altar. We remember the sacrifices under Mosaic law, and we understand they were about us being pure before you. And so, Father, we ask that you will find these sacrifices, these offerings, acceptable, Father. And we trust you, we bless you, and we thank you for what you've done in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. See, that was probably a mistake, my friend. That was probably a mistake. We don't want things to blow out.
Please listen to what Gary said.
Let it burn. It'll be fine.
I'm trying to get the ash off because I don't want this table to be burnt.
Oh, right.
But yes, we want it not to...
The table wasn't on the list, was it?
No.
Who put the table on the list?
Robin will say, we don't know what happened. We can't explain the slight burn marks on your lovely table, my friend.
Gary.
Did you want to finish with a song?
Gary, Daddy said to God,
God. Amen. Do you want to just give that word now? So Sparkle's just got a very short word that she wants to give. If this applies to you, please come and get prayer afterwards if this resonates in your heart.
So this was, I was prompted by the Lord and urged to share this word with you, give you a message for some people in the church. If you're out of Christ, you're in a crisis. God wants to destroy every chain and stronghold in your life and shackle.
Okay, that's right.
Chains of addiction and bondage, and turn it to dust, to pulverize it for his glory. We are in the world, but not of the world.
Amen. Thank you.